Hi everybody, and welcome back to the Gaming News Show. Once again, sorry we took a long break. We had a bit of, well, we were off on holiday, to be quite frank. Sadly, Jordan's not joining us today, but he may join us later on in the coming weeks. We'll have to just wait and see. Anyway, I'm Sony, and we're just gonna hop into it. For the first story, we've got Call of Duty going back to its roots, maybe? We've currently had a leak that Call of Duty is gonna be set in World War II, just like the original games were. Which is really exciting because the fans really wanted something like this, and they've been asking for it for the past 2-3 years instead of all this futuristic stuff that we've been given, which, although the developers can't help, it's something that they have taken into consideration and have listened and are now implementing World War II into the game. The community is hyped, and everybody is hyped. Everybody who hated the games, who loved the games but fell out of love because of the newer games, absolutely everybody is hyped for these new games, and there will be a live stream very soon of the actual release, whether it's a teaser trailer or somebody's talking more about it. Either way, World War II Call of Duty game is coming this year, and nobody can wait. Sticking on the topic of Call of Duty, Call of Duty 4 Remastered has new classic maps in the works. So far, we know that this DLC is going to cost around £11 to £12, maybe £15, which is a bit hefty, but yet again, you are getting some pretty good maps from the original Call of Duty 4 that weren't in the remastered version of the game. You're getting Village, Creek, Broadcast, Chinatown, my favorite, and Killhouse. Right now, I hope that they don't do anything iffy, because every time they remaster an old map, they change things that make it no longer, you know, the original map, whether they block a certain corridor off or completely remove a certain area of the map. And honestly, that kills it for me, because it doesn't fulfill the nostalgia for me. But if they just leave the maps how they are, but just, you know, give them the updated graphics and textures, I think it'll be amazing, and I cannot wait. Moving on to our third and final story, we're breezing through these really quickly. I didn't expect how short this was gonna be. We're going to talk about the Xbox Scorpio and its reveal. As you know, the Xbox Scorpio is the new Xbox console releasing of 2017, but people are very skeptical about it. Everybody is calling it the PC killer. It's gonna rival PC high-end PC builds. It's gonna be the one to truly put PC to shame. And now that the specs have released and everything is finally kind of more open to the the consumer, I think it's time to take this as objectively as possible. Right now, we know there's going to be an 8-core CPU that's running at 2.3 gigahertz, a GPU that has 40 compute units, which is a lot more than the Xbox One had, but it's only going to be running at 1.17 megahertz, which is, it's mid-par. There's also going to be 12 gigabytes of GDDR5 RAM, which confuses me because it's both shared with the system and the graphics card. More on that in a bit. There's going to be a bandwidth, it's going to have a maximum bandwidth of 326 gigabytes a second, which is the download, and that is huge. Although PC can have like 500, but this for a console is huge. Although you won't be able to utilize all of this if your internet can't keep up. Either way, it's nice to know that they're stretching the bandwidth a little. It's gonna have a basic 1 terabyte storage and a Blu-ray UHD, which is 4K Blu-ray player, which the PS4 doesn't have, which is quite surprising. And all of this is gonna be wrapped up in a £500 to £600 price range. Looking at the price and the specs, this is not that bad. I'm quite impressed. Congratulations, Microsoft. You made a console that could begin to level out with PC. But I need to clarify something. It's not going to be a PC killer. You cannot build a PC like this for the same price range. That I can happily agree on. But there are certain factors that you have to take in account. Like the 12 gigs of GDDR5 RAM, which is shared between the system and the GPU. GDDR5 is just GPU memory, and it's interesting to see how the system's going to utilize this as well. This may slow down performance. Either the system is going to take up 8 gigs of the RAM and the GPU is only going to have 4, or it's going to be the other way around. I hope not, because that configuration is a lot worse than it sounds. And GDDR5 is RAM is just a quick storage, temporary storage kind of, so information is pushed in and quickly pulled out for your graphics card to process. And that's why I'm a little iffy on how the system's going to utilize it as well. Either way, it's interesting to see. And on the CPU side of things, although it's an 8-core, and 8-cores, in my opinion, are the better version. Oh, my apologies, that was my phone. 2.3 GHz is not good enough. It's not par on most PCs. Most PC CPUs are, at the minimum, 2.7, and this is 0.4 GHz shy. And even that's not even the average. The average levels out around 3.7 or even 4 GHz, which is considered the top or the best of the best, but also AMD have pushed this kind of performance in their CPUs for a much cheaper price, which I can solemnly agree on. If you want a cheap but great processor, go AMD. If you want raw performance, go Intel. Everything else on this looks great, but will it rival on crush PC? No. Although you can't build a PC with the same performance at this price, it doesn't mean that it's going to crush PCs. Although you can build a pretty good PC at £600 or even £800, which I always recommend, this console may not be able to rival that, simply because optimization. You can have the best parts in your PC or console as you want, but if the game doesn't utilize it, it essentially means nothing, and you bought yourself an overpriced paperweight. Anyway, let me think what you know. Email me directly at sony.access.biz. That's S-O-N-Y at accessradio.biz. Anyway, moving on to the game releases. First and most excitingly, on the 25th, on the PS4, Xbox One, and PC, comes Outlast 2. I am hyped for this game. I cannot wait to get it. And honestly, I love the demo, I love the first game and the DLC, and I cannot wait. I cannot recommend this game enough if you like horror games. It uses incredibly dark themes, some gruesome, some incredibly brutal, and things that shouldn't seem legal in a video game, but it's amazing. It tells an incredible story in such a deep and horrific way that it scars you, but in a nice way. Moving on to another horror game, coming out on the Oculus Rift, and this is an Oculus Rift exclusive, so you won't be able to get this on the HTC Vive. Coming out on the 25th as well is Wilson's Heart. It's a psychological horror themed game. You wake up and you're supposed to you wake up in a hospital, but you're supposed to escape. But different things happen, hindering your progress. Of course, there are still people in this hospital, and it plays on the character's mind, and I'm not quite sure how this is going to play out, and I'm not quite interested, so I don't have an Oculus Rift, but I'll be sure to check out gameplay and live streams of this once it comes out. Last but not least, Ultra Street Fighter 2. This is releasing on the 26th of May, sadly, on the Nintendo Switch, and if you like Street Fighter and Street Fighter 2, you'll love this since it's an old classic remastered for the Nintendo Switch. I'm glad that Nintendo are bringing out more games for the Switch, but it also kind of bums me out to see that very few of these games are enticing for the average consumer. I love the old classic games, but I'd also love for, you know, them to bring up more games to bring in more people. Anyway, that's been it for this week's show. Contact me, leave suggestions, or even what you think about the Xbox Scorpio at my email. Email me directly at sony.accessradio.biz.